Good to be here today, good to see everybody. We're at war right now, you know that? We are. We're in a situation right now over in Middle East where Iran, used to be known as Persia, decided to try to stop them from doing what they're doing. But there's another war that we're in. I don't know if y'all are aware of it, I certainly am. It's one that's been going on for a long time, ever since the Garden of Eden. This war's been going on. It's one where we've got a little bit of a challenge. We are physical in nature, but this war we're fighting is spiritual. Think about that. 1 Corinthians 15 and 50. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. We, in our present form, in our bodies, we cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That means we can't go forward. But the kingdom is here. And we are part of that kingdom, are we not? Well, we can't go home. We are travelers here on this earth. Think back on your life. Do you deserve the kingdom of heaven? Do you deserve God's kingdom? Do you deserve to be with Christ? Does the results of your life basically indicate that you please God? We try to. I know we do. Have we done enough to warrant that life? Well, if we look at it that way, then that our job is a wage to be earned. How many minutes in God's kingdom have you earned? It doesn't work that way. Everybody that speaks up here says the same thing. It doesn't work that way. By His grace, we are saved, not by our works. By the way, I said we were at war, right? Who am I fighting in this so-called war? Who's up against me? Don't we need to know who the enemy is? Who declared war on us? Who December 7th us? For those of you, history is not your stronger suit. We're talking about Pearl Harbor. Who attacked us? No one's attacked me. They haven't? Or was it just I didn't notice that I was being attacked? Did the serpent jump on top of Eve and beat her about the head and shoulders with a sharp stick? No, he didn't. He had a conversation with her. Well, that's not an attack, is it? A simple conversation? He merely asked her what God said about the tree and the knowledge of good and evil. Not to eat of it, right? Then what did he do? He lied. That's what he does. He lied to her in such a way, and then he used all of his effect or ability to get her to change her stance. She wasn't going to eat of that tree. But he convinced her to do so. I mean, the fruit was nice, looked good. She grabbed it, she ate of it. No matter how far you go in life, here you are. It was over with. The sin had been committed then. That's only the one sin. There's a second sin there. Adam knew better too. But he chose his wife over his maker. How was that considered an attack? Documented facts about the planned attack on Pearl Harbor by Japan was not carried out particularly timely, because they were going to give the ultimatum to our government before the attack. Unfortunately, it came after the attack. Evil doesn't always make mistakes in that line. Japan knew months in advance that they were going to war with us. They'd already planned this out. They had their game plan all set up. You don't think Satan does? We couldn't see the attack coming, or maybe it's just that we didn't want to see the attack coming. Maybe that was what it was. But somehow, this deception tactic that Satan uses and Japan used really messed things up. We'd just gotten out of a war 22 years prior. We didn't want another one, so we felt like if we stuck our head in the sand, we wouldn't have to worry about it. I'm afraid we Christians sometimes do that too, probably. We don't recognize that we are in a war. Second Thessalonians, second chapter, 9th verse. The coming of the lawless one is according to the workings of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. This isn't hard. But it obviously is. You know, Christ berated the Pharisees in Mark 8 and 12 the same way, because they were looking for signs. This is what Satan's going to come in the last time and do. He's going to provide all kinds of lying signs and wonders that many will be drawn away with. We have to be careful. We have to understand what and who we're following. In Mark 8 and 12, he says, "But he sighed deeply in his spirit and said," this is Jesus, "why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation." So this warns about who in the last days will provide the sign to deceive those who perish in Thessalonians. In Mark, Jesus is saying, everybody's looking for a sign. That's what they were asking for. They wanted somebody to prove that they were who they were. Unlike those souls in the Arizona and on the Oklahoma, this will be a choice for who we are going to follow. This is who we follow. We don't follow ourselves. We don't follow our own devices. And we have people that can fool us with just sleight of hand. Can you imagine someone from Satan, how they're going to be able to fool us when it does not comport with the scriptures? Hebrews 2:14-15. The writer says this: Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Think about that. Jesus came to this earth. The Word of God came down, manifested in flesh, so He could be like we are. He could live in the same environment that we live in. That He tasted death for us, not for Himself, but for us. That He might destroy the power of death and release us from that fear. Do you fear death today? I mean, it's maybe a little uncomfortable. But when you wake up every morning with that snap, crackle, and pop, and I'm not talking about raspers, I'm talking about those bones and joints that don't want to cooperate anymore. Sometimes maybe that waiting for that new body might not be so bad. But there are those who fear death. In the book of James, we think the devils don't believe in Christ. They believe in Christ. They fear and they tremble. So many out there convince themselves that He don't exist. Well, we need to make sure we let them know He does. Have our lives become so comfortable that we're often charmed by various advertisements claiming that if we tried this simple product or this simple cure, that this disease that seems so horrendous that we may not have even been diagnosed with, but if you take this and you give me some money, I tell you what, you'll never have to have this thing hurt you. What do you say? That's called a fear tactic. When they find out what you fear, and Satan knows what you fear, but if they find out what you fear, that's what they're going to go after. That's what they're going to try to use against you. That tactic the enemy uses is deception. And that's what Satan has. Let's go out and buy some gold and silver. I got gold and silver. But I was dumb. Why would he build us? Well, the dollar's going to go away, and all this stuff's going to fall apart. Well, I'm not telling you to be ignorant of your surroundings and telling you to be ignorant of everything that happens. I'm saying be mindful of what's going on around you. Not just the physical things, but especially the spiritual things. It seems like I've read something about laying up treasures and the location where they're supposed to be stored. Maybe Matthew 6, 19 and 20, but we won't read it. Is this where our gold and silver that's advertised on YouTube is best to be placed? All these taxes are a little different. Tactics are a little different from what the government of Japan tried to do at the beginning of World War II. But deception and lies are where Satan has his power. He has no ultimate power over you. He really doesn't. Something about the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Those are his tools that he uses, and he uses them very effectively. If you hear somebody on TV tell you a story, a lie, an unfact, do you listen to them again? Do you believe them again? My brothers and sisters, far too often, yeah. Well, he would lie to me about that. If he'll lie to you about a little thing, I guarantee you they'll lie to you about a big thing. Did they come back and say, hey, I misspoke, or I told you a story? Very rarely. Does God lie? You go to Titus 1 and 2, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. That's before anything physical was here. Because in order to have the physical, you've got to have the time. And the space. Physics. How about Satan? Does he lie? In John 8 and 44, you are of your father, the devil. He's talking to these members of the church here. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Remember your own life. Review your own life. Do you lie? We have to ask ourselves those questions. Do we misrepresent anything? When you're supposedly at your work, your job, doing work for somebody that's paying for you to do work, do you take an opportunity to sit back or maybe lollygag around while they're paying you? That's kind of a lie, isn't it? Are you more like God? Are you more like Satan? Now here's our fear factor. Who will do you think God accepts? Well, God accepted his kingdom, which does exist today. Souls who live for themselves, deceiving and being deceived, or souls who sacrifice their own comfort for others less fortunate as they are manifested within their lives. Do you have a hardened heart, or do you try to help folks? You see, the war we're fighting today is not with a sword, it's with a mirror. The biggest problem that I find every day is the dude looking back at me when I'm shaving. He can get into more difficulty in less time than anybody I know. And I'm afraid everybody has the same issue and the same problem. The question is, do we try to fix it? Do we love God more than we love our own comfort, our own security? Were we made to focus on ourselves or focus on God? Think about that. Were we made in the image and likeness of God to worship ourselves? Or were we made to worship God? How do you worship God? You do the things of God. Isaiah 43:21. This people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. Not their praise, my praise, God's praise. Psalms 95:6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Let us hear, Ecclesiastes 12:13. This one we're probably a little more familiar with. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. In Revelation 4:11, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Why are we never satisfied? You ever asked that question of yourself? People in the 1950s, and I'm one of them. People in the 1950s wouldn't even believe that we live in the summertime refrigerated homes and in the wintertime very well heated homes. We'd go to the refrigerator and get anything we want. We'd have to drive down to the drugstore to get a soda. Remember those fountain sodas? Oh, whenever I was a kid, we used to go to Goldsmith's Drugstore. They had a soda. We call them soda jerk. They're just a guy behind the counter. He just made a soda for us. And we'd go out. And I think Daddy would get a whole, I think 50 cents would buy us all a soda pop. And we were just tickled to death with it. That was our Sunday after church deal. Before we went home, Mom was real happy about it because she just felt that sugar was going to defer our hunger and all that good stuff. What does she know? What about this? What about this life that we now live? If we focus on ourselves, we're never going to be happy. So why are we never happy? You never have enough? Because our focus is on the wrong thing. Our focus needs to be on God. Do you think about God all day long? You should. Do you talk to God when you're driving from place to place?
Toby,
I know you do. I've heard you. Do you ask his opinion on things? On issues? You should. How do you have a relationship with somebody you don't talk to? Most women might say that sometimes about their husbands. They don't talk too much sometimes. I'm not trying to get you in trouble, Marcus.
You can get your trouble easy enough yourself.
No, it's a fact. We just don't talk to people. Keep in mind, this is your Creator. You are part of His creation. He doesn't make mistakes. You are not a mistake. With all of your problems and all of your issues, you aren't a mistake. You're supposed to be exactly here at this particular given point in time and in this assembly with the rest of us. And I'm glad you are. I'm glad you are. He wants the best for you. Why would you not want to confer with God? Why would you not want to lean on Him, your cares and your issues and your problems? Why not? You might want to thank Him for something that happened that was just so mundane. Not a big deal. You asked Him for it, He gave it to you, and you didn't worry about talking and saying thank you. It's not a big deal. If it would have gone the other way, okay, I would have lived through it. But did you thank Him? His Spirit resides in you. His Spirit resides in you. He's like all other parents. He wants to know how his children are doing. A parent wants to know how their child did today. Was it a good day for you? It doesn't matter if your kid is 12, 13, 14 years old, 5, 6, or 38. You want to know how their day went. You love them. God loves you. He wants to know how, He knows how your day went. Don't get me wrong there. But He wants you to talk to Him and tell Him. Now, I'm not trying to speak for God, but I just expect that's probably what He wants to hear and see. This is apparently what Satan is trying to break up, is this communication, this relationship. And if you don't have a relationship with Him, I'm not sure He's going to want you in His world. He loves you. But you'll make that choice whether you love Him back. We go back to 1 Thessalonians again. We're going to start from verse 1 and read on through verse 12. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit, by word, or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for the day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, and that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you that I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in our own time. For the mystery of the lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will come and consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they may be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned, who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now in the 13th verse, we start again. We're going to change it up a little bit. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth to which he called you by the gospel, for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by epistle, or our epistle. Now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everything, consolation and a good hope by grace, connect your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. This isn't going to be necessarily easy. We have had it really easy over the past 50 or 70 years. Things that were abominable 70 years ago are now celebrated today. And even in such situations, the churches are sanctioning and celebrating, or not sanctioning, but they're basically agreeing and pushing it. Satan has taken up a lot of ground on the world. He really has. And we didn't fight hard enough. We certainly haven't. But we've got to fight. We've got to fight in this war. I don't mean go out and take out a gun or a sword or something like that. I'm talking about the spiritual battle that we're in. Telling people the truth. Not telling them what they want to hear. We can tell them the truth, and we can tell it very humbly. We don't have to be rude or anything like that to tell them the truth. And those words might stay with them. Maybe in time enough for the Holy Spirit to work on them and save them. That's what we want. We need to do it with humility. Philippians 2 and 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. That's kind of hard to do sometimes when somebody harms you. I remember when I was younger in my years, my elders, not necessarily the elders of the church, would talk about, oh, well, we worship this way,
It's so much better than the way they worship over here. See a problem there? It's called division. That's what Satan wants, is division amongst us. He wants us to be griping and point fingers at one another and, well, you're just not going to do it right, you know. We have to pull for unity. Find what we agree on. And let the Holy Spirit move us together. Let Him take away all the differences. As we read this book. Even though I follow the dictates of my conscience as well as each one of you do, there's no way that my worship can be proper in the sight of our Creator. There's nothing I can do, but I know I'm going to do it the best way I can. Judging somebody else, I might disagree with them. Romans 14 and 4, and you know I've been a Romans 14 a whole lot. Because that's one that helps me keep me straight. Romans 14 and 4 says, who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand. For God is able to make him stand. Think about that. How many times have you seen somebody walk away from church because somebody said something inappropriately to them? Try to convince them they ought to be doing this. They ought to be doing something else. Not any of us are at the same level. Not one of us. We're all at different levels of our faith. We all are at different levels of our understanding. Where does humility stand? 1 Corinthians 11:31. For if we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. You take care of your own issues, nobody else has to do it for you. Nobody else should be doing it for you. But you pray that somebody loves you enough to tell you. But you tell them humbly, you tell them very, very plainly. And you let them make the decision. But you don't embarrass them with it. Tell them in private. You can read about the whole armor of God in Ephesians 6, starting with verse 10. I'm not going to do that right now. But if you leave any of that armor off, guess what's going to happen? There's going to be places and openings in that armor which Satan's going to get through. My brothers and sisters, if he wounds us, he puts us in a bad situation. If he gets us wounded, there's where we go into bondage with him. What binds us to Satan? Sin binds us to Satan. That bondage is what we were released from when Jesus justified us on that cross 2,000 or so years ago. It's just from that bondage, the bondage of death. There are two camps, there are two kingdoms. One is focused on self-interest, the other is focused on God's interest. If we try to make us happy, we're never going to be happy.
because we weren't designed to make us happy. We were designed to make God happy. That's why if I got $1 million, I'd want to know. But if I've got God, what else do I need? What else do I need? Are you comfortable? Is everything going your way? Well, two things have happened then. Satan has given up on trying to pull you away as he walked away from Jesus when he was out in the wilderness for the 40 days or so. He gave up on it and walked away. But the other reason that Satan's given up to you, on you, is because maybe he's already got you. Why does he need to spend energy and effort if you're already on this team and on this side? It's a question I ask myself a whole lot. But then when my hot water heater went out, I guess maybe that was a truth or whatever. Colossians 1 and 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Satan has the power of deception. What we see, what we hear, what we feel, what we fear, and so on. Well, we fear the Muslims. We fear the communists. We fear them right-wing extremists. What we feel. Oh my goodness, what are we going to do? Fear on fear on fear. Take action. Take that. What action do we take? We know what action to take. Jesus left it with his apostles in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Amen. His Spirit remains with us today and He guides us daily. This Holy Spirit which gives us spiritual sight through faith. In 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 10, for we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, are confident, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be with the presence with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. For we who must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. May I suggest the principal reason someone in the camp of Christ might do bad is being tricked, such as Eve was. Throw off the remaining vestiges of this life and the physical existence. Crucify the flesh and live in the Spirit. Christ said, yeah, my yoke is easy. And the great thing is, my brothers and sisters, His yoke is custom made for you. The lesson is yours. If we can help in some way, today we ask you to come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.